Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We drink tequila, we talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
We are back.
Back in the building.
There it is. Hey, Sherry, that's what I was looking for. All right, we are going to be drinking.
We're back with some fanciness is what it is.
What are you drinking, Sherry?
I am drinking basically something similar to you guys, but it's coconut milk, disaronno, tequila, nutmeg, almond extract, and vanilla extract.
Wow. Nutty.
Nutty, still wintry, still good.
Yeah.
Still delicious.
Okay, so we are drinking a proper eggnog, and we're going to get into that right now. Everybody, welcome to Team Tequila Talks. We are back.
Damn
after
it.
The holiday break. And it is the new year. I'm not going to say new year, new us, because it's the same us. There's nothing new happening here, except for we do have a new cocktail this week, or two, I guess, actually.
Yes.
But for the most part, new year, same us. And we have our guest, Justin Cooper from Green Planet.
Hi.
We're going to get to him. Hello. Well, but we're going to start with what we're drinking. You, Sherry, are drinking a concoction that I kind of just crafted on a whim over the holiday break. And it is it's not vegan, but it is a dairy-free version of an eggnog. It's in the eggnog alley.
Why isn't it vegan? Rick had it. Why isn't it vegan?
Has egg whites.
Oh, I didn't make his with egg whites. This one doesn't have egg whites. Yeah.
Well, see, I like the egg whites because it really like bubbles up and froths, and it's foamy like a thick, creamy eggnog.
Yeah.
And I put it in, you know, like one of those protein shake tumblers with the
silver bead.
The thing. This spring thing. So I put it in there and I really shook it up and it got super frothy and foamy and it felt eggnoggy. And it kind of hit my sweet tooth enough because I was really craving that thick, creamy, sweet holiday beverage, but I didn't want all the garbage sugar in it. So we didn't add any sugar. Obviously, a nut liqueur is going to be sweet. Right? Going to have sugar in it. Okay. It's the holidays. You're having a treat. Yeah. It's okay if you've got a little liqueur or sugar, but the idea is that you're not dumping in a bunch more sugar on top of it. Right?
Right.
So how'd you make it? How'd you make yours?
I did coconut milk, vanilla extract, almond extract, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg, and I use a nut liqueur disaronno and some Casamigos tequila.
Yum.
Yeah. Mm.
It gave me like a mix of sugar cookie and eggnog vibes, I guess a little bit. And I put a little bit of the cinnamon and nutmeg spice on top of mine. Same as if you were kind of doing an eggnog, you usually put nutmeg on. Yeah. Which brings me to, we are really kind of a little spoiled right now because we had our buddy Dylan from Ms. Better's Bitters pay us a little visit. And he gave us, he did a couple of things here. First of all, he went on a hangover hike. He said he had a hangover. So he went on this, we're on this remote island in BC. It's kind of remote.
It's remote.
You have to take a boat to get there, right?
That's remote. And that's
like,
remote.
And it's a small town.
Yeah.
So there's not much here.
No.
It's pretty remote. So we come here and Dylan shows up and he's like, I got to take a hike. And Dylan has this habit of like picking things from the park. I don't know if he has a degree in herbology.
I was going to say.
He's certainly seasoned in mixology. But he has done this multiple times where I've gone and sat at his bar. And he'll say, you know, today I got fresh whatever because this type of pine or fir is in season. And I'm going to mix it with a gin cocktail and make a campfire s'mores or something like that. He gets very creative and inventive, as we know. But he got us this stuff called Labrador tea, which is also known as trapper's tea. They used to give it to pirates for scurvy. Let me see if I can get it. Like it's in my drink. Yeah. Cause it's in high vitamin C, but the people, you dry out the leaves, you make tea out of it. I just tried to use the camera use the microphone as a camera. That's not it. So it's like, it's got kind of this,
It just looks like
stuff
leaves
on the back.
It looks like leaves.
I know. And I Googled it and I was like, Dylan, are you poisoning us? Like, what's happening?
Right.
And he's never steered me wrong. He looks at me like I'm a crazy person. He's like, no, it's trapper's tea. You don't know what trapper's tea is. But I looked it up. So obviously I did a little bit of research on it. And it is used to treat pneumonia, chest infection, bronchitis, any type of lung type
ailment. Respiratory. Yeah.
Yes. And including even cancer, right? They give this to, it can also help with the symptoms of chemotherapy.
Oh.
Apparently. So like if you have some type of, any type of like heavy breathing or labored breathing because you're on chemotherapy or a type of lung or bronchial cancer, you can take this Trapper's tea and it just sort of helps the inflammation in the lungs and the respiratory system. So I was really fascinated by that because I've never heard of it.
Plant medicines, right?
Yeah, the OG medicine. Yeah, the OG medicine. Yeah. We're going to learn a bunch about plant medicines with Justin. So Dylan actually made us a different cocktail with the Trapper's tea. He boiled it with some water and maple syrup, super Canadian, and made a maple Labrador syrup tea. And he made a tequila cocktail with that. And it was great. But moreover, he also made us and brought us this homemade eggnog, and we're going to post it because it's like, it's a pretty not extensive recipe, but there's a process to it. And I am not a huge dairy person. I'm really not, but he got local pasture raised, basically like unpasteurized and super clean raw milk. Okay. So that's like, those are the conditions in which I'm like, sure, hit me with the dairy, because where we go wrong with dairy, with the inflammation and everything, is going to be all of the chemicals and the hormones and the processing. And then you pasteurize it. And then it's like, well, you've taken out all the good stuff and all you're left with is the bad stuff. It's like, it's not great. I can't remember the last time I've had just a glass of milk. Just straight up milk.
No, right? I don't. I mean, you probably had a glass of milk when you're in London in the countryside.
I feel like I probably put a splash of country cream. Well, because that milk also comes from the farm. They walk over to the cows and then they drop it off at your doorstep in the morning. So that, again, we're talking about the same thing where it's like local, which is obviously super sustainable. And because cows are meant to be grass fed and out on a pasture. And, you know, that's nature's way of doing its thing. Right. But this is, he took the full milk and then he added the eggs. Okay. And then he added in, this is actually a Mexican nog, because here at Team Tequila Talks, you know, we love a spice.
Tequila.
So he added tequila to it. So it's good.
It looks good.
And then he brought us like an actual, this is nutmeg. I did today as well. Cause you know, you just grate a little fresh stuff on top. And I got to say, like it really, so it beats the powdered stuff.
I know.
You do what you can, right? Like I don't ever grate fresh nutmeg on my stuff either, but this is probably why Dylan's cocktails are so good.
Elevated. Yeah.
So we'll post the recipe to it. I just kind of liked the aroma of the Trapper's tea, and it just like looked really pretty in the eggnog. So I decided to, you know, do a little Canadian combo here, you know?
So you're healing from the inside out right now, both of you.
Well, you know, I think we're just doing like a healthier version of alcohol.
It's just cleaner. Very good. Very like rich, fragrant,
it's delicious.
Spicy.
It's best eggnog
Best eggnog I've
so
ever
can
had.
You so I'm not a big eggnog person in general. I just never liked the flavor of eggnog ever since I was a kid. So can you drink a lot of those, or can you have just like one or two and then move on?
Depends what kind of tea you want to have.
So it's dense. Yes, but I also only poured like a couple of ounces in here. So I feel like this is not something that you chug.
No.
This is something that you sip, and you're sitting around the fire, and our fire was on, and it just keeps sporadically going off. I was really excited to do this in front of the fireplace with our nog. And
2023, off to a great start.
Oh my God. So I think that you kind of keep it cool. I've got the rest of it on ice right now, which we'll top off in a bit. It seems like more of a laid back social sipper. Yeah,
this is not something you chug.
I wouldn't eat it with, I wouldn't drink it with meal either.
No, this is a by the fire.
Okay.
More like a dessert or maybe like a cozy.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not overly sweet.
No.
But it is good. Rich.
That's good. Hearty as a drink goes.
We've got our Canadian here.
Yes.
Hey, I'm in Canada right now. The fireplace would be more telling if it were working. We're sipping our super tasty nog. New Year's just passed, so I feel like we're slowly transitioning out of the holiday season. But I'm in Canada celebrating New Year's, a little post New Year's. And I always find it interesting that the dairy situation is different in Canada and in Europe and the United States, because I will put local cream, farm cream, whatever, in my coffee when I'm in Europe. But I usually don't do that in the States because if it's organic, I just feel like if it's got to sit on a truck for like a week to get to me, it just impacts the quality. And
I'm super particular. I couldn't agree more. I eat wheat in Europe. I eat, I don't eat whole grains from North America. That sounds funny, right? But Europe, they don't use certain pesticides. They don't use glyphosate. They don't use glyphosate to dry or cure the wheat.
What Green Planet does. Green Planet is, I mean, you're going to tell those better than I am, but Green Planet is all about building a better and more green planet, right? So it's about growing things that in a healthy way, in a clean way, that are going to be better for you, better for the environment.
Right.
But you can elaborate. Tell us about Green Planet.
Green Planet is predominantly cannabis related. So Canada's had a long-standing relationship with cannabis for a very long time. We were the second country in the world to go legal. I'm not certain that was the first. Best. Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Yeah.
So fun fact.
Really?
I'm going to jump in here because I was just in Amsterdam. And I got to say, we were getting one of those like private boat tours with the cheese on a wine plate and the canals and the lights. And, you know, it was amazing. And we're like, because, you know, weed's legal. And he's like, it's not legal. Mm-hmm. It's not legal. It's just that they don't enforce the criminality. Right. So like more or less it's decriminalized, right? It's still not legal, which is crazy. Because you think Amsterdam is
shockingly highly illegal in so many ways.
Yeah. It's I feel like they do it the right way because it's not legal, but it's the big part of their tourism industry. Why would they cut off money into their
country? But they're trying to close that down too.
Are they?
They are.
Yeah. For a long time, it was very, you know, do what you want. And it was really, really strange. Even large lighting companies, if they were directly making money from cannabis, the owners of those companies could have gone to jail. And they were actually really enforcing, like, indirect sales towards cannabis. So Holland is not what we all thought it once was. It was years ago. Years ago, it was really, really, you know, free for all. Everybody from the U.S. went to Amsterdam to, you know.
Right.
But
so I actually am not a massive THC person. I dabble, but I certainly I think it's because I'm so type A. Like I don't like getting too high. If I get too high, I can't sleep. But if I have a little bit, then it makes me fall asleep when I'm supposed to be like social and having fun. So occasionally I will use it, but we were in Amsterdam and we went to a cafe and that was my big question is if it's not legal, it was a fully operating cafe and the guy rolled right there on the counter for us.
It's very open.
It's just insane that something that is not legal is so decriminalized to the point of people are running full businesses. Could you imagine in the States or even in Canada, you have to go to a BC Liquors or Ontario Liquors. You have to go to a government licensed store. You can't get anything in a grocery store. You can't just there's no pop-up shops. There's no nothing. Alcohol is so heavily regulated.
Canada is still very regulated though.
So regulated. Like,
somewhat, but I mean, they've now opened something called Farm Gate. So the growers will be able to actually have people come to their gardens and consume at their gardens. So that's going to be an interesting little thing for the
kind of like wine tasting.
Yeah. Like wine tasting. I'm like, yeah, whoa.
Exactly. So that's a new up and coming thing for the cultivators. I mean, legalization in Canada has not been, in my opinion, something that's been fantastic only because the government, and this goes for a lot of states too, they don't care about how many licenses they put or they don't care. All they care about is just collecting their tax and the size or scale. Like normally you'd have marketing boards for dairy or certain citrus and they regulate the amount of supply so that it doesn't destroy the price. And where marketing boards are a great idea, they can say you are allowed to this much canopy size. They gave licenses out and said, here, have at her. Or you can do a micro and you have that much canopy size. But the large licensed producers in Canada have had a free for all. And I think there's 3 billion grams. I heard that as being a number in excess sitting in safes. There's so much cannabis and it just destroyed the whole.
But I mean, listen, I don't think weed goes bad easily, But it's like it's got to like kind of eventually go bad, right?
I've been trying to consume it all. and I'm failing.
You're on a personal mission.
I'm an officially saved
citizen dedicated to assisting the government of Canada and the economy of your country.
I thought it was a good doing my part exactly.
You have Grow Green Planet is a THC company, and then you have like CBD arms. Are you like, is it
I'll give you the Coles notes. So Green
Planet, that's Cliff Notes for Americans.
Yeah. So Cliff Notes coming up.
I love doing this in Canada.
The Green Planet is a wholesale company, a wholesale manufacturing company. We manufacture a line of nutrients for growing cannabis, and we wholesale a whole bunch of different brands, from lightings, from ThinkRoll lighting, Trollmaster, Method 7 sunglasses, tons of brands. We're a brand house. We're the picks and axes of the industry.
Got it.
So we sell to all the licensed producers. We sell to anyone cultivating cannabis. And we're really selective on purity and quality of ingredients.
Okay.
So, if you hear that noise, that's me just grating some fresh nutmeg.
Yes.
Spicy and fragrant over here. It smells so good.
Yeah. Oh.
So all the terpenes coming off of the nutmeg. When it comes to cannabis, I mean, and anything that has smell, right? Terpenes play such a role, and tequila, same thing, like aromatics and all these things, they really affect the mood. And that's why aromatherapies and cannabis and anything that smells good, you're attracted to. And it's, I think, part of a human condition to really source out really tasty treats.
Well, and I actually didn't know anything about terpenes. I mean, you go to a wine tasting or you go to a tequila tasting and they say, you know, breathe in the aroma and take in what notes are you getting. Is it caramelly? Is it nutty? Is it
vanilla?
Sweet? Is it citrus? Yeah, vanilla, exactly. And I didn't really understand the whole terpene of it all, because you go into something like a dispensary and they'll say, well, this is the same brand, but this one is for sleep and this one is for play and this one is for pain and this one is for mental clarity. And you're like, whoa, but I thought it's all the same brand. I thought it's all the same thing. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but what they explained to me is that the terpenes are what tweaks the formula.
The terpenes will actually drive the experience.
Right.
Right. Because THC by itself. Yeah, really. Right.
Wait. So what is a terpene? I'm confused, guys. It's a smell.
A terpene is a smell. So for example, like lavender.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's familiar with lavender. Lavender produces something called linalool, which is the terpene found in lavender.
Oh, right? So I hang limonene. Eucalyptus. Yeah.
Yeah. You hang eucalyptus. Limonene is from lemon. Right. So that is the specific terpene or chemical compound found in citrus. And you'll find hundreds. Cannabis is a funny plant because hundreds of terpenes work in cannabis. It's one of the only plants in the world that contains such a broad spectrum of terpenes. And then how each one of those terpenes plays on your own endocannabinoid system is a totally different realm, because you and I have two very different endocannabinoid systems.
Right.
And I know some people that have broken endocannabinoid systems because they consume way too much cannabis.
Oh.
I talked about yourself, Justin.
I'm not broken. No, no, no.
I know someone. He's like, I know some people.
Yeah. But no, mine's not broken because I actually take days off. No different than drinking tequila or anything. I make sure I have my breaks so I can actually experience it. That's life, right? Absolutely. So what I'm looking for when I consume cannabis or anything, I want a really well-rounded product where I'm getting the best effect. I hate burnout. I hate being non-functional. I hate being sleepy. I want it just to be a nice, mellow, happy, clean, beautiful experience.
But it takes you a while. I know. I'm not huge on like cannabis, and my husband takes a lot of CBD. He takes a lot of CBD for his inflammation, for his like gut issues and all that. So I do a lot of those lines that he does. He does like a lot of tinctures and his like water and like a bunch of different stuff. But I did find one gummy that if I take a half of one before night, it doesn't knock me out, but it just kind of drifts you. And then I feel like that your other part of yourself kind of then relaxes you. And then you just kind of, because I've had weed before where I've been like, I was awake, but I couldn't move.
Yeah. So you hit, probably, you hit the nail on the head. You had the perfect dose. But we've all had that experience where, you know, you should have just eaten the ears on the gummy bear.
You can always do more. You can never do less.
Yeah, there's no truer statement. So when you just have slight experiences, that's where I'd say that's the best place to live. And that's what you should go for. And that's it. More with cannabis, especially for edibles, is not better.
No.
The beautiful thing about regulation has been we can actually test for milligrams of cannabinoids.
Well, and it also stops from all of that really dangerous synthetic weed.
Yeah.
Right? Like you hear these horror stories about people that are going to the emergency room or getting paralyzed because it's chemicals. It's not real. Yeah. It's synthetic. Yeah.
Sativax,
right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be putting that stuff into your body any more than you should be putting chemicals in your food, right?
Right.
They haven't been able to figure out how to make cannabis because there's so many chemical compounds. And Sativex and these type of companies, that actually makes people go psycho.
So you mentioned earlier plant-based medicine. And we, you know, we've got our Trapper's Tea over here. And I just said to Dylan, how come I've never heard of this? And he's like, it's ancient. This is, like I said, they used to give it to pirates for scurvy back in the 1500s and stuff. And this was before Big Pharma existed. And I mean, my theory is that Big Pharma just wants to make it easier for you to take a pill. Because realistically, if I'm having any type of pneumonia, upper respiratory infection, flu that's bothering me, it is way easier to take your NyQuil and numb it out.
Totally.
Because you probably have to have 9 glasses of that tea over the course of 3 days to start feeling the... I mean, I don't know. I felt like when I had it yesterday, I felt like I was clearing some stuff that I didn't even know that I had in there just from I don't know, travel, holidays, whatever.
Probably.
Yeah. I feel great. I don't feel sick. I don't have any chronic conditions, but I felt like it was loosening up just travel, climate, allergy stuff. It's really cold here. You know, I
think it all has its place.
It does, right?
So I think,
right.
And what I don't like is I don't like the business of medicine.
Right.
I don't like the fact of getting on something and having to, you know, be in there. And that seems to be a little bit of the way it is today. Like so many medicines, how can a pill be $1,000 a pill or whatever the obscene
right.
amounts, right? Like, and the margins that are found in these medicines, like if I can find a natural alternative,
totally
help with an ailment, and I can go foraging like Dylan did for something that is in nature, like because we are part of nature. But listen, I don't care who you are, what you are part of nature.
Totally,
you're part of it. So. Yep. There is a fix for your ailment found in nature.
Right.
And totally. It's easier just to take the NyQuil. I agree. But if there's something like, I know cannabis works really well for me. I've committed my life to it. I even have a show on cannabis called Growing Exposed. And I source and I go to the gardens because they're using our products. They're having better results. And that really was kind of the genesis of the show. But I'll go to gardens all over the world and see what they're doing and what type of techniques and really find out why people are in the industry. Because when you find out like the story behind the people that are within cannabis, there's always more to it. There's, you know, their uncle got sick or, you know, or they were a police officer. They know they did wrong for so many years. And they're like, I can't believe I was, you know, involved in such a thing. Now I'm involved in the business and I'm, you know, this is a drug for sure, but it's a drug that gets people off opioids.
Right. And I did a little research about opioids. I can never say
opioids. Share inner words.
I can't say the word, but I was doing a little research and it talked about the nexus of that addiction and cannabis therapy. And I think it was Seattle. I think Seattle has I think it was somewhere else in rural America where opioids is like off the charts. Yeah. And this Harvard group. I forget the name of the group. I have it here. It's a Harvard study where they went into this town. It's like a town of like 5,000 people. And like something like 2,600 of the people are adults are like addicted to opioids. Wow. Because they work in factories. I'm talking about people who stand all day for 12, 14 hours a day.
They did that series Dope Sick on Hulu. But I think was it Michael Keaton?
Right? Michael Keaton,
Michael Keaton, and I know, like if it, I have it downloaded for the plane on the way back because I've watched the first couple of episodes.
It's amazing, and it's basically it's people who stand on their feet all day who make our tiny car parts, but it's laborious. We're
getting mining accidents. That's the big thing in West Virginia. Yeah. They all work in these mines, and things fall on them.
And they in the opioid epidemic, they kind of overprescribed, right? These doctors made money under the table. And then it's now,
by the way,
it's
fucking disgusting.
Like, so gross.
If you're involved, like, how can you be a human being knowing that you're involved in directly destroying people? Because that it goes from literally Purdue Pharmaceutical, where you get the OxyContin and they get hooked. And then the doctor says, well, no more of that. And you go right to street drugs.
Right. Yeah. Now that they've really, because of the light that has been shown on the corruption of the pharmaceutical industry, they are really regulating all of those conventions in Hawaii at the Four Seasons. Get invited to
Panama
and Costa Rica. They're optional lectures where you can just hang out by the pool and have
a mindset. These are smart people. These are doctors.
I know.
Intelligent
human beings.
Yeah, I think the issue is like when in this study is like they wrote it's like a big study and they said basically that when it started to affect the everyday people, the mom who had birth pain and then she got addicted, the lawyer, the cop, the doctor, when they themselves started being addicted is when it kind of became a thing. But cannabis was used in this study from Harvard to try to get them off of the opioids and then to maintain some certain level of like pain management for inflammation. I have it here. It says for digestive, ulcer, colitis, Crohn's, irritable bowel, and the inflammation that's caused by chronic back pain for like slip disc and all the things. And they had an 85% success rate if it was dosed correctly for, you know how you were talking about the different strands and what you can and cannot do. It took them like 6 to 8 months to dose for a week for a certain, like, oh, that didn't work. So, I mean, it is micro. It is a very micro thing. Whereas drugs are more like, take this, take this, take that. And it's just general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what they will be doing on cannabis is they will be being able to identify very easily what endocannabinoid system your system is. And they'll be able to give you the exact amount of CBG, CBD, CBA, THCA.
Alphabet soup.
You know, literally your alphabet soup. Of and they'll say, you need this much of this, this, and they'll go, here. Now we've isolated every one of the cannabinoids you like. Here you go. This will fix that ailment at that exact dosage.
That's so incredibly complex, though.
It is.
I just feel like if you are, you know, your average Joe or Jane, and you go, I got in an accident and I hurt my ankle, it's really difficult to go, I think I'll just try some marijuana. And you don't know how to, to fine tune. You really need, there should be some type of profession. I mean, I feel like you probably do this unofficially, but there should be some type of profession the same way that there's a pharmacist at a pharmacy. I feel like you walk into a weed store and the vibe in there, almost everybody's like, yo, want to get high, bro? Like it's less about catering to what you're trying to get out of the experience.
And that's honestly where bud tenders and where anybody
in cannabis. Did you say butt tender?
Bud tender.
But you said butt tender.
Like I told you butt tender. Wait, bud, B-U-D?
B-U-D.
Oh.
But I mean, butt tender's cool too.
What kind of night did you have last? Yeah.
So, no, but that's the job of the butt tender. And unfortunately, especially in Canada, we've been sold on the idea that THC is what we want. And THC actually is exactly what I don't want. So a 26% to 32 or whatever it is percent THC seems like a bad idea for me. I want 14%. I want low THC.
Yeah,
this is no different than you walking into a liquor store and saying, hey, give me your strongest alcohol wine, please.
Right.
I just don't know what to be doing.
Right.
But that's unfortunately the industry isn't really in its infancy and people are just unaware. And THC is the thing that literally it spikes, it knocks you out, and it isn't pleasurable.
So a bud tender is somebody that's going to work for a company, someone marketing, someone selling.
No, they're the one at the till saying, hey, what kind of weed do you want?
I think in my experience, and I haven't gone to that many dispensaries because You know, I'm more of a tequila girl myself.
Sure.
But yeah. I mean, like, usually I'm always down to like try something, or when I see Justin, he's like, hey, try this. I'm like, okay, you know,
hopefully I've never steered you wrong.
No, some of my best nights with Justin, but I mean, I just think, you know, when you go into a dispensary, it can be very overwhelming. You don't know where to start. Yeah. So you kind of have to just rely on the packaging of, is this for a good time or is this for a sleepy time, social, you know.
Most cannabis at the dispensaries, in my opinion, are subpar, and I don't buy them. I like bougie, like no different
than Sherry likes bougie.
I love bougie.
But listen, like there's tequilas. I also have a substantial tequila lineup at my house. And
he's got a whole tequila room.
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen photos of it. Yeah.
So I have a fair bit of tequila, and no different. I don't like having the Joe Blow tequila.
Yeah. You don't like the Joe Blow.
I don't want Jose Cuervo. Basic Jose Cuervo. Yeah.
Swag. But wait, where do we go for bougie weed then? THC or CBD? Where do we go? So this is the problem.
The best way to get it is grow it yourself.
God damn it.
Like, that, or talk to someone within the industry and they'll find it for you.
So, okay. I once, with the help of someone who knew what they were doing, we had a pot and we said, well, let's get a clone and let's try, right? Yeah. Like, this is when
you knew somebody.
Yeah. So I think it's when California legalized it, mm-hmm. but the dispensaries weren't open yet. They weren't selling it. So it's like there was this weird gray area when you could have it, but you couldn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is that? Like, and the only weird loophole was if you could get a clone mm-hmm. and then grow it yourself. So we had this pot and it was actually quite easy. And then we had this whole bush explode. We had so much from this one, like it was probably like a 5-gallon pot. We didn't know what to do with it. We were like, we were just like handing it out because it was one pot and it was so much. And it actually didn't really take that much.
So that's the funny thing about alcohol versus weed, right?
We also grow grapes in a winery.
So to make your own beer or wine, I've never had anybody make their home brew.
Oh yeah, ours is in a bathtub.
Yeah.
We have very experienced professional winemakers handling
it. I've never had good wine that someone said, hey, I made this at my house. No. True. Never have I had good beer or wine that someone said I made this. I've had dozens of really good cannabis where someone spent a little bit of time, mm-hmm. a little bit of, you know, know-how, and had a banger crop and did fantastic.
Really? Well, and Green Planet is less about, you know, the marijuana plant itself, mm-hmm. but more about the systems, soils, tools. Because Justin has a whole farm. Mm-hmm. Where they grow, they have rows and rows of where they grow their own food. And you should see the fucking zucchinis that come out of this place. They're like, they're like watermelons, right?
Yum.
And it's just, it's all about the quality of the fertilizer and the growing methods and all of this stuff. They literally hand out all this food because they're like, we don't, it was like me and the weed plant. We don't know what to do with all of it. And
right.
We grow pot plants too, and we can't consume that much. Like I end up giving it to influencers across Canada just talk about how amazing it was. But some of the weed that we grow is it all starts with a seed. So that was my question. How do you start?
Yeah.
Where do you find it? Honestly, there's incredible seeds. Go on the internet, find a really good variety of seeds.
Mm-hmm. Can you buy them on the internet now?
Absolutely.
I feel like you didn't used to be able to do that.
There's seeds.
Wow.
Is this the dark web?
No.
The regular FedEx.
They've been selling seeds from Amsterdam since.
Wow.
Does that violate an agriculture customs law?
No,
give me one name, two names of two different types of seeds that people can at least start and look at. Like, so, what's a good seed?
What do you Google? What do you put into Google?
One of the oldest greenhouse seeds, Sensi seeds, Sirius seeds. I'm not being paid for any of these
silly seeds.
Fast buds. What you should serious be looking seeds? For serious mm-hmm. seeds. There's so many different. There's literally thousands of seed companies.
Okay.
And then they'll have literally menus, and they'll say do this, 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 this will do this. This will give you this effect. This will give you that effect. Right.
The terpenes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They'll tell you what you're going to be getting.
On the dispensary note, I went into a dispensary recently and they had PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, like the old school frat beer.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They had PBR hard seltzers. So there was no, there's no alcohol in them, but there was 10 milligrams of THC, which is too much for me. If I drank that, it's like, it's see you next punch. Tuesday, right? Like that's a lot for me. I mean, maybe I would have a sip or two, but I can't drink that. But it was kind of like a marijuana White Claw, I guess.
Yeah.
And so there seems to be this big, especially since the legalization of this in a lot of places, there seems to be this big explosion of THC beverages. There's certainly been CBD beverages on the market for quite some time, whether that is teas or post-workout waters or sparkling beverages or mocktails. Because we've talked about mocktails before and wanting to have the ritual and the wind down effect. Yeah. And CBD, of course, you know, you drink 20 to 40 grams of CBD, you're going to feel warm and fuzzy, but not, you know, the fuzzy in the body, but not in the brain.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that it's really interesting to see how this is developing, because I was talking to Justin about this the other day and I said, how come they don't make THC cocktails?
And they should, but where it really plays a major issue is my cocktail will hit me in 5 minutes, the alcohol.
Mm.
Right?
You start so if you take a shot of tequila, I say you are feeling it within 10 to 15.
Sure. Yeah.
If you are sipping on a cocktail while eating dinner, I'm going to say it's going to take you 45.
Sure. Sure. But the onset of a shot of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the onset of a shot of tequila with THC. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole, like, tequila and THC go really well hand in hand. Wine and weed go magnificently together.
That's a deep sleep for Cassandra.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I find that it literally is dabbling a little here, dabbling a little there. It's literally picking up pieces along the way.
Yeah.
Going aggressively, if you're already intoxicated and then you have cannabis, it's nights out.
Well, I can't do that. I did that in college. It didn't work for me. No. I'll do like a glass of wine. I can only do 2.2, but I can't do 5 milligrams. I take a half of that sleep gummy. But my husband's friend is an investor here in this first weed restaurant in New York. And it's like bougie. It's called 99th Floor. And it's Chef Miguel. And he's kind of like you, like a mad scientist a little bit about how to. So he's a chef and he's really big time advocate of really organic weed and that it can be to treat a variety of illnesses. But it also can be if you dose it correctly throughout the evening, you eat your food and you drink it to where you leave feeling like great, but not like hyper.
That's it. That's the number.
Yeah. So my question with that is you say weed restaurant. Are we talking about edibles or are we talking about
steak, dinner, shrimp, pasta? From the beginning to the end. It's in like what is it called? Those little sauces.
What if you get too high while you're
he's regulating, he's dosing really, really low. And it's amazing. And he'll literally there's people that have you hit the nail on the head.
Yep.
I think drinks should be 2.5 milligrams. So it's like a beer. It's
similar to content. Because you should be able to have more drinks than one. More if you're like tailgating or
I don't want a 10 milligram drink.
It's like you're one and none.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. I want to be able to actually plan my whole day and have 2.5.
Right.
Or even one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a tiny segue, I would be buying those drinks only in glass jars because those cannabinoids actually absorb into the plastics.
What if it's aluminum or tin?
It's absorbing into the plastic in the liner of the tin. That was a very expensive piece of research that was done.
Oh, wow.
On growing exposed, we actually visited Lagunitas was doing a beer. And they did a ton of research in the cannabinoids and the THC were dropping month after month. Really, they couldn't figure out.
Because it's sitting on the shelf and it's sucking it out.
Yeah. Absorbing it, yeah.
Well, they say that too. I mean, about even sparkling water, they say you should always be getting your sparkling water in a glass as opposed to a can. And do I try to do that? Sure. Is it realistic all the time? Not necessarily, right? Yeah, like,
For cannabis, those cannabinoids should be in glass only.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. That's I think
I never would have thought that.
We can't even get a reservation. My husband's friend is an investor, and that's how booked they are. We're here. We're like, hey, we really want to go. They're like, sorry, we have a corporate event. And then we have some people from London coming in because people have heard about it.
Yeah.
And the reviews are like, everyone goes out feeling lovely. Mm-hmm. And he has a scientist that he actually works with. He's a chef that his buddy's a scientist.
Amazing.
And I am like, me and my husband, I'm like, I'm here for a week. Please, I would like to go here. Because then they give you like little stuff to go. Like, here's the butter for your eggs and only use this much in the morning or whatever. And I'm like, wow. I want the things. So I do think we're at the forefront of weed and THC being more. So I feel like weed for so long was like high bros, like just get high bro and like let's pass the fuck out. And I feel like now it's becoming more elegant, more refined, you know, for the adult.
That's what I'm hoping, Sherry, like is... Unfortunately, the weed industry right now is, let's just have the shittiest beer. They want mass volume and just to get mangled.
Budweiser.
They want
pun intended there.
People want Budweiser. And it's really bizarre to me because I've never subscribed to Budweiser. I've always been, I want boutique, high quality, clean source, grown with intention, and because I source that, and I honestly only consume rosin predominantly. I don't smoke a joint very often.
Okay.
I consume, I literally have a Dab X and I consume pure rosin, which is just the trichome. It's like harvesting all the hash off the plant, right? So hash naturally is the trichome, and all we're consuming is the glandular head. So when you look at a piece of bud and it see it sparkle in the sun, those are thousands upon thousands of tiny little heads. And they look like little tiny mushrooms under a microscope.
Mm.
And what I like, I don't want to consume the stem, the leaf, the carbon, the anything that goes along with it. I want to consume just the glandular head.
Wow.
Right? So if I'm consuming that, I don't want it to be extracted using CO2, using butane, using anything. I want literally.
Butane would they use to like start barbecues?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the gas that's in lighters, but it literally will strip off the trichome. So they use a lot of different hydrocarbons to remove the trichome. And I'm probably going down there. Anyways, I want clean. And if we can extract all the hash off the flower and the trichomes, and we can consume strictly that, that's where the flavor is. That's where the medicine is. That's where you get these like massive punches of deliciousness.
And wow.
So as for your friend's restaurant,
They're adding
it to the butter because
everything, THC,
it's fat soluble,
mm-hmm.
and then they're using that butter or the oil throughout salad dressings and on top of the steak, and they're dosing it accordingly to not get anyone mangled and respectfully, and because everybody's had a bad experience if they've tried cannabis once, and nobody wants that bad experience, right? Like people are fearful of it.
And it's the same with alcohol too, right? Like you feel like shit.
Just don't get paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't go, oh, that's so good. I want more.
So if someone were starting either a THC CBD virgin or someone that has only used very casually in the past, because dispensaries can be very overwhelming, where do you start?
You're dipping your toe in.
Okay.
And you're literally, what's nice about regulation and legalization, this is the nice part of it, is you're walking into 2 milligrams. I would really suggest if you're going to try flower and you're going to roll it up and you're going to take a bud itself.
Flower meaning like traditional weed leaves, stick it in a pipe or papers.
Yeah. You're going to take a small puff, you know, walk into that tiny puff,
Before you run.
Walk before
you sprint.
And you may hate the taste of it. You may not like it. You may not like the effect. So don't go with that. Go with it. If you don't like the effect of it, try a CBD 10-to-1 where you're getting more CBD and all the other cannabinoids and very low THC.
Right.
I feel like CBD is nothing but beneficial. There's not like I think the downside of THC is you might get too high, but there's not really a downside to CBD. You can't do too much CBD.
I don't know of any.
Yeah.
I've tried.
I was on 120 a day, milligrams a day of CBD when I was in that motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
And my foot and my ankle were like, you know, the size of it.
Yeah.
It was huge. They were huge. Yeah. They were super swollen.
Yeah.
And so I was taking the CBD for the pain and the inflammation because I was in a foreign country. And I was like, hey, what can you give me for the pain? And they were like, como se dice, ibuprofen. And I'm like, well, that's not going to do much. Yeah. So I was on ibuprofen, but also it like I didn't want to wreck my stomach. Mm-hmm. So I was only taking the minimum dose of ibuprofen. And I'm like, this still really hurts. Mm-hmm. So the CBD was very helpful, but only at a high dose. And yeah. I was afraid that I was going to have some type of drowsiness, nothing.
Yeah.
No downside, even with that high dose. And I only did it for like a week or two while I was just kind of pain managing. It wasn't a long-term thing, but it certainly helped. And I didn't notice a downside.
Yeah. Like they wanted to give me oxys when I was, I snapped my tailbone and my tailbone was literally like snapped. And I just like, no, thanks. And I went home and I ate brownies for 4 days straight.
I mean, and amazing.
To the point of, drooling brownies. Like I was just completely and utterly a mess. But I would way rather take something natural that's non-addictive. Totally. Cannabis can be addictive, but you have to be a complete and utter.
You really have to go for it.
You really have to go for it.
Well, I mean, I just based off of my experience as someone who's not immersed in the industry, say that CBD has been incredibly helpful for me and people in my family, including, like people that have had hip surgeries and stuff like that, and just the inflammation, pain, all of that stuff. So I would say maybe start with that. If you're super weary and you say, I don't want any psychoactive effect whatsoever, but I want maybe some of the benefits of this.
CBD is the children.
Yeah. Well, and there's CBD beverages, there's CBD pills, there's CBD creams, there's CBD tinctures. Like, it's a really... If you CBD gummies, you can say, how would I like to consume this? And it is available to you.
Yeah. And you can go to your doctors. I do this along with my blood work, your yearly checkup. Have them check your inflammation levels. It's such an easy test they can run. And then you can see, just ask them, say, hey, I want to do an inflammation. Also, I want to check my inflammation in my body. It's just another blood prick, a little more blood on a little pad. And it gives you 0 to 100. Obviously, you want to be under like 15. Under 20%, 15 is kind of where you should live. But I do a bunch of CBD. When I went and I get like my heart check and all this stuff checked, and I was at like 5.2, which she was like, no one is that low because we're Americans and we freaking, even if you don't smoke cigarettes, you're walking behind somebody smoking a cigarette and our food and our gas and pollution. I do CBD every night in a tincture in like this big water bottle. Which I probably should stop consuming that out of plastic now that I think about it, because it is in plastic. But
the CBD is absorbed in the plastic over time.
Okay. Well, also, you're drinking it right away. It's not sitting on a store shelf for months.
I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Yeah. But I do think inflammation levels for North America, just anywhere in general, you should be checking, especially if you're over like 30, 40, just to see where you are. Mm-hmm. See, how to get it down. I think CBD, there's a lot of big, my husband has a prescription for one that's like a big, powerful one where I kind of like, shave off the top and take myself because I'm just like, it can't hurt.
Well, I would even go one step further and I'd take a broad spectrum CBD where you're getting other cannabinoids too. You're not getting only CBD isolate.
CBD, CBN.
CBN, CBG, because all those cannabinoids that are non-psychoactive have a positive effect with you. Like they're doing tests for Parkinson's with CBG right now. And they're doing CBN actually is a quite narcotic CBD. It actually can stone people right out, but no one takes enough CBN to get knocked out.
Wow.
It's very, very sedative. It's very relaxing. So that's kind of, anyways, that's where I would start. THC is one, it's for someone that wants to be more advanced, but it just, THC does very, very little in the broad spectrum of things. I don't like it in excess. I like having, it's called the entourage effect with all the cannabinoids and all the cannabinoids working together.
Just feeling pleasant.
That's where we want to be. Like, why is it that we have to get mangled? Even the tequila, like
you got shit to do tomorrow.
Exactly. I know.
Honestly, I don't like mixing drinks. I like staying with tequila and a nice, good quality tequila.
Yep.
And you can jump within all the realms. Like Cheers to La Rona, having something more whiskey oriented.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, I've got that most recent one from Cinco, whatever it's called, from
Cinco.
Really good tequila.
That's Michael Jordan. That's Michael Jordan and Jeannie Buss's. I was just in Mexico, took my husband on a tequila tasting with like all the good shit. We did some of the very regular name brands, but then they made this mezcal producer. I was like, hey, I have a tequila show. Da da da. So he's like, when I come back to work, I'm gonna give you this brand new mezcal. It's like from Jalisco. And I had to try to smuggle it in. So I was like,
shit.
Because they won't let you bring it back.
Yeah. And of course, you can bring up to 2 bottles.
That's where you can just use Rick as a mule.
Well, fuck me, because I tried to use him as a mule. So the guy was like, you're better off putting it in your carry-on, not in your luggage. You're just going to take it out. He's like, this is how you do it. I had 4 bottles because they're only like, they didn't give
like
me
three like, ounces each?
Yeah. Like four, like they're like tiny, like they're new producers. And I loved it. Well, I get to thinking that I have Rick in his foil and all the thing. And they were like, sorry, nope, that's tequila. We're taking that out. I was like, wait.
Really? They took it?
I brought back a bottle of tequila. You can bring, I think, either 1 or 2 bottles back per person.
They snatched ours.
Well, that's bullshit. On that note.
Haters.
Cheers. Welcome back. Happy New Year, everybody. Yes. I know. We'll have to get a refill. We really appreciate you guys coming back. Hope you all had a wonderful holidays.
Plural, we sure all did. Of them.
Yes. And we will see you next time on Team Tequila Talks.
Bye.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been fun.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.